Thank you for listening to this sermon from Seven Springs Presbyterian Church. If you want to learn more about us, please find us on Facebook or visit us at sevenspringspresbyterian.com.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we give thanks and praise to you. We give you thanks and praise that you have revealed yourself through creation, that all would see your might and your splendor and your glory, that know that there is indeed a Creator, that you also have given us your word, that we know more about you, but also of ourselves. Lord, we pray as we open the Scriptures this evening that you would work a mighty work in our hearts, that we would see your sovereign hand over all things, but also the hope for sinners, that you save a wretch like me. Be with us now with the help of the Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear now the word of the Lord from Genesis chapter 27. Verses 30 to 46. This is God's holy and inerrant, infallible word. Please take heed how you hear. As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. He also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you might bless me." His father Isaac answered him, "Who are you?" He answered, "I am your son, your firstborn Esau." And Isaac trembled very violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me, and I ate all before you came? And I have blessed him, yes, and he shall be blessed." As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry, and said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing." Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing." And then he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Behold, I have made him lord over you, and all his brothers I have given to him for servants, and with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, "Behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall be your dwelling be, and away from the dew of heaven on high. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck." Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, "The days of mourning of my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." But the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, "Behold, your brother Esau comforts himself about you by planning to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to Laban, my brother in Haran, and stay with him a while, until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you, and he forgets what you have done to him. Then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereft of you both in one day?" Then Rebekah said to Isaac, "I loathe my life because of the Hittite women. If Jacob marries one of these Hittite women like these, one of these women of the land, what good will my life be?" The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord will stand forever. It's hard to see these connected stories throughout this passage, is that sometimes when you go not quite at a Puritan pace. A Puritan pace would be one verse for 1 year. But it's hard to see the overview, the 300,000 foot overview. And I try to balance that going through the passages as we sometimes slow down and look at this. But it's really hard to be able to see how all these stories are connected and how Moses, the author, ties all these passages together. From the beginning of, at the end of chapter 26, when it's mentioned of Esau marrying these two Hittite women, and this causing bitterness to the soul to both Isaac and Rebekah. And then Esau marrying Ishmaelite women in Genesis 28, verse 9. But in between all of this is this story of Esau and Jacob. It's interwoven of Esau marrying, Jacob being sent to get married. But in between all of this marriage and marriages of the two sons is this chapter in 28 about blessing. Who will get the blessing? Who will receive the blessing, not just of Isaac, but the one promised of Abraham that goes to Isaac, then who will be next in line? And last week we saw that this is really a story of sinners. There's four sinners in this story. We saw Isaac, the blind father, who really went, was not just physically blind, but blind of Esau, and blind, and followed his stomach. He had Rebekah, the eavesdropping mother, who was really wanted the best for her favorite son, Jacob. But then also Jacob, the deceiving brother, willing to go at any lengths, even to blaspheme God, to be able to receive the blessing of God. And this week we see the fourth sinner, Esau. And again, if you turn to this chapter and you look at an ethical question, who deserves the blessing of God the most? Then no one deserves the blessing. And if you're going to try and weigh the sins and say that this person sinned more by doing this, you're never going to understand the blessing. That no one deserves the blessing. But we see throughout these chapters of God's providence and sovereign, His will and promises even through sinners. So let's turn to Esau, the despairing brother. Now remember last week that Isaac sent Esau out to go and hunt this game. And while he was out hunting the game, Rebekah planned with Jacob what was going to happen. She tells Jacob of her plan. She prepares a meal for Isaac. Jacob goes in, deceives his father Isaac, and eventually gets the blessing. And just as a well-timed movie you ever wondered a movie in, right as the conversation ends, the phone begins to call and the transition just happens smoothly. And this is what happens here in this passage. Right as Jacob leaves the tent, Esau comes in. As soon as Jacob finished the blessing, verse 30 says, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Jacob, Esau came in from his hunting. The blessing had been given. But yet Moses spends a lot of time on who does not get the blessing. This chapter is all about who will get the blessing. But Moses spends almost half the chapter focusing on Esau and this conversation and dialogue of this blessing. So Esau comes and he prepares the meat for his father and takes it to his father. And his father asks the simple question, "Who are you?" Esau replies that, "I am your son, your firstborn, Esau." Also, Esau brings attention to who his claim is. He is the firstborn, the one who deserves the blessing. Yet he does not have the blessing. Now, before we get to Esau's reaction, that I've pointed out that this is really just a story of sinners. Now, some of us might feel sorry for Esau, especially if we're just reading chapter 28. He's gone out. He's done what his father has commanded. He's gone and got the game. He's come in now to receive the blessing which he believes is rightfully his. And we feel sorry that he's been deceived. Now we need to note that there's two major things that have happened before this narrative has come. The first is that he sold his birthright. He comes in claiming to be the firstborn, but he sold his birthright for a meal. He wanted to have a meal rather than the blessing. Chapter 25, it actually says he despised his birthright. But now he wants his birthright. Now he wants to claim that he gets his birthright. That he is somewhat being dishonest as well. That he gave his birthright to Jacob, which entails this blessing. But then he comes in and claims to be the firstborn, which he's given away to Jacob. Now, I don't bring this up to say, let's weigh the scales to who earns it, who deserves it. No one deserves this blessing. But to mention that we feel sorry for Esau, but also he's not perfect as well. But the second thing that happens right before this narrative is Jacob taking two Hittite wives. Now, the first negative in this is there's two of them. Any time in the Bible that anyone gets married to two wives, it's never in a positive light. Always negative. But also that they're Hittite women that cause division in the family. This bitterness to the soul is explained. When the author of Hebrews explains Esau's situation in Hebrews chapter 12, he calls Esau unholy. He says, don't follow anyone who's sexually immoral or be unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. The passage in Hebrews says that he was rejected, even though he sought it with tears. And Isaac explains that Jacob is the one who has received this blessing. Isaac, even though he is surprised by this situation, he trembles very violently. He understands that he can't take this blessing back. That God's sovereign hand has moved. Hebrews explains that by faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. That both of these blessings are done by faith, even though Isaac might not completely understand it. But then we turn to Esau's reaction. Esau heard these words of what Isaac had said. He cries out exceedingly great and bitter cry, "Bless me." It's somewhat ironic in this chapter that Esau marries these Hittite women and causes bitterness, Mara, to his parents. Now he is the one who receives bitterness. When he cries out, "Bless me, even me also, oh my father." But it's also ironic that Jacob, the one who deceives in this chapter, will be the one who is deceived later by Laban. And even Isaac points out that he came deceitfully in verse 35. He knows Jacob did it, and he came deceitfully. And Esau feels wrong. He brings up Jacob and his character. Is he not rightly called Jacob? Jacob literally means to grab at the heels. The one where he deceives. And Esau is upset that Jacob has deceived him, not once, but twice. He explains that he's cheated me two times. He took away my birthright. Now he's taken away my blessing. Now, is it true that he took away his birthright? You might say that Jacob used the situation to be able to gain the birthright. But Esau willingly gave his birthright up for a meal. The passage says that in chapter 25, that he explains that he despised his birthright. Jacob will wrestle with God to receive a blessing. But here Esau is wrestling with Isaac to be able to receive just a portion of a blessing as well. Three times he cries out to Isaac, his father, "Bless me, O my father," in verse 34. "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" in verse 36. "Have you but one blessing? Bless me," in verse 38. Esau lifts up his voice and he weeps. Esau's tears, though they appear to be true, come more from wanting things and not truly concerned about the blessing of God. Now it's hard to understand motives, but we do see when he doesn't receive the blessing he wants, he's willing to go to great lengths of murder and anger to be able to receive and try and grab hold of that blessing. Remind you of the story of Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel go and make sacrifices, and the Lord had no regard for Cain's offering. Cain's response is anger. His face fell. And the Lord comes to him and says, "Why are you angry, Cain? Why is your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it." And here Esau, like his older brother Cain, his response is anger. He seeks not to be able to repent, to truly repent, although he does it with tears. His response is to try and murder his brother. This is the undertone, which is through the book of Genesis, throughout the whole Bible. The seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. Now this is within the house. Two brothers of the same womb. There's no neutral ground. But he finally gets this blessing. This blessing is more of an anti-blessing. It's the negative, the opposite of what Jacob receives. I wouldn't necessarily say it's a curse, but it's the opposite. Everything is relation to Jacob. Away from the fatness of the earth shall be your dwelling. But to Jacob was given the fatness of the earth, of plenty of grain and wine, the dew of heaven. But Esau is away from that. Away from the fatness, away from the dew of heaven. "By your sword you shall live. You shall serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck." Just like Jacob's blessing follows what has gone before with the line of promise, we now see this negative blessing given to Esau. This theme of away. Cain was sent away. Ishmael was sent away. The living by the sword. Genesis 16 verse 12. that Ishmael shall be a wild donkey of a man. His hand shall be against everyone and everyone's hand against him, and he shall dwell over and against your kinsmen. By the sword, by serving, Canaan, the son of Ham, was cursed, and his curse was that he would serve his brothers. Eventually, they will part ways and will become their own nation. Possible reference to 2 Kings chapter 8. But here, following the blessing, then follows Esau's plan. Esau hated Jacob because he had done of the blessing of which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, "The days of mourning of my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." But what is the outcome of this blessing? We know that Jacob now has the blessing. It flows through that Esau is the one that's distant away. We see this outcome of the blessing in verses 42 to 46. The day of deception has a lasting impact on the course of Genesis, but also the whole Bible. The promise goes from Abraham, Isaac, to Jacob, to Jacob's 12 sons. Imagine, hypothetically, of course, outside of God's providence, it's not for us to dwell much on these things, but it's not Abraham, Isaac, Esau, but it's Jacob. All because of this day. This is why we're told, before this happens, in Genesis chapter 25, that we're told that God's sovereign hand would be upon them. The Lord told Rebekah as she goes in to inquire of him, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples are from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger." Now, if we just had chapter 27, we might think that someone finagled their way to receive the blessing. But we're told long before the blessing is given that God had chosen one. This is not plan B. God had planned to choose Esau, and then Jacob finagles his way in, deceives the situation to receive the blessing. It's not God just making the best use of situation. Well, I didn't see that coming. Now, what do I do? But God, long before they were even born, long before they'd even done something, God had chosen one to serve the other. And here Rebekah finds out this information that Esau is planning to kill Jacob. So she goes and calls Jacob again. She overhears the situation like she did in the first place. She goes to fix the situation. She tells her son to obey my voice like she did before. She says that Esau comforts himself about planning to kill you. This is what brings him comfort. Knowing one day he might be able to take Jacob's life. But she tells Jacob to arise, to flee. The same word which is used of Hagar as she fled from Sarai. She sends her to her brother Laban in Haran. And she instructs Jacob to stay with him until your brother's fury turns away, until his anger turns away from you, and he forgets what you have done to him. Then she tells that I'll send for you over there to be able to bring you back. Why should I be bereft of you in one day? Why should I lose two sons? that Rebekah, who was once barren and childless, is now concerned about being childless again. She didn't want to lose both of her children. Esau and his two wives has caused bitterness of the soul. But little did she know that she would not see her son again. She was quite concerned about protecting her favorite child and getting the blessing for him, that she would never see him again. But like most plans in the Bible, they work. It worked with getting Jacob the blessing, but now she's created a new problem. She goes and speaks with Jacob to try Isaac to resolve this. He explains that I loathe my life because of the Hittite women. If Jacob marries one of the Hittite women like these, one of the women of the land, what good would my life be to me? If Jacob marries a Hittite woman, she explained quite dramatically that it would kill me. Imagine their Thanksgiving dinner. But this will be the verse that we start with next week. I want to take the last few minutes, show the importance of this moment, this one day, as Rebekah had explained. As she says, poor sinners. Everybody either seeking to give a blessing to somebody or to take a blessing from somebody else, concerned about receiving the blessing. Yet we are constantly reminded of God's sovereignty in this book. Thomas Watson says, Christians, you who are vessels of election, we by nature as wicked as others, but God had compassion on you and plucked you out as brands out of the fire. He stopped you in the course of sinning when you were marching to hell. He turned you back to Him by sincere repentance. Oh, He is the banner of love displayed over you. Now here, if we think that anyone deserves this or anyone earned their way in, we are gravely mistaken. We are marching towards hell, as Thomas Watson explains. But God shows compassion by plucking us out. Or Paul writes in Ephesians, blessed be the God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed you in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the promise of His purpose of His will. Here we, the spiritual blessings were decided long before we were even born, long before we were in a womb, long before we had done anything. He chose us before the foundation of the world. Even if we take the promise of the land given to Abraham, Isaac at this point, and soon to be Jacob, the Lord explains in Deuteronomy that they do not get the promised land because they have earned it or deserved it, because God promised it. It's not called the merited land, the earned land, the obedient land. It's called the promised land. Deuteronomy 9, verses 4 and 6. Do not say in your heart, after the Lord your God has thrust them out before you, it is because of my righteousness that the Lord has brought me into to possess this land. Whereas it is because of the wickedness of these nations, the Lord is driving them out before you. Not because of your righteousness or your uprightness of your heart are you going to possess their land, but because of their wickedness of these nations, the Lord is driving them out from before you. that he may confirm the word that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is not giving this good land to possess because of your righteousness, for you are stubborn people. If we ever think that we earned anything, we're gravely mistaken. Paul writes in 2 Timothy as he's coming to his last breath, he writes that he endures everything for the sake of the elect, that I also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy. For if we have died with him, we also live with him. If we endure, we also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. That no one ever gets into heaven for their good deeds. And we need to be reminded of this time and time and time again. Our only hope is that God shows us compassion, that God plucks us from the fire. Charles Spurgeon says, I believe the doctrine of election not because I am quite certain that if God had not chosen me, I should have never have chosen him. And I'm sure that if he chose me before I was born, or else he never would have chosen me afterwards. He must have elected me for reasons unknown to me, for I never could find any reason in myself why he should have looked upon me with special love. John said he chose me from the foundation of the world because, jokingly, if he had known what I have done, he would have never chosen me. But he looked upon me with special love. And I am glad that God chose Jacob. Because that means God could choose a sinner like me. That God would save a wretch like me. This passage reminds us of God's sovereign hand of election. It's right here, in this pivot passage, you might say, that we're told in chapter 25 who God would choose, who God would send the blessing to. And it's never because they earned it. It's only because of His mercy and His grace, His compassion. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we give thanks and praise to You. We thank You for passages like this that remind us that we are indeed sinners, that we are indeed unworthy, that we, like the Israelites, are a very stubborn people. But yet the glory which says that You chose us, that we might be able to have every spiritual blessing in Christ, that before the foundation of the earth, that You have chosen us to adopt us as Your sons. Lord, we give You thanks and praise for this glorious good news that You can save sinners like us. You have chosen sinners like us to display Your glory, Your mercy, and Your compassion. Lord, let us not be proud or boastful. Let us not think that we're greater than others. But let us see Your mercy and compassion, and proclaim that mercy and compassion to all who are lost, that You would call Your sheep home to be with You. We pray this in Jesus Christ's glorious name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Seven Springs Presbyterian Church. If you want to learn more about us, please find us on Facebook or visit us at sevenspringspresbyterian.com. Seven Springs Presbyterian Church began in 1874 and is a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America, located in Glade Spring, Virginia. Please join us for worship on Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. for His glory and His gospel.